Church, not to start this morning with something negative, but unfortunately I'm recovering from the flu and I'm still experiencing some coughing. Praise the Lord, I'm feeling good enough to be standing here now before you, but please pray for me. It will not affect the delivery of the message today. Can I have my slides, please? Thank you. Let me start the message with a story. Can you help me? Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Okay. So one day in February 2007 in Texas, a little girl named Lucy, led by an old woman, walked to the entrance of a mansion where the former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan was holding a charity dinner to raise money for poor children in Africa. They were stopped by the security since they did not have an invitation. Lucy, who was holding a delicate porcelain jar, said to the security guard, Sir, charity is not about money, it's the heart, right? The security guard was shocked and did not know what to do. Lucy then placed the jar in the hands of the man and said to him, I know the people invited are all very rich, and they will donate a lot of money. I do not have so much money. But this is all I have. If I cannot go in, please help me take this in. Then an old man came to the door. He heard Lucy, and he said, You are right, child. Charity is not money. It is heart. You can go in. All loving people can go in. The old man turned out to be Mr. Warren Buffett. Later, the charity banquet slogan was changed to Charity is not money. It is the heart. The protagonist of that day's dinner was not Warren Buffett, who donated $3 million, nor Bill Gates, who donated $8 million, but Lucy, who donated $30. I did not validate this story, but I think it doesn't matter. People like this kind of story. The moment I read the story, I immediately thought of the woman who anointed Jesus at Bethany, which we are going to discuss today. You may ask me why I don't compare it with the poor widow story with two very small copper coins. I'll explain later. Okay, now let's look at the Bible, Gospel of Mark chapter 14, verse 1 to 11. May I ask Elder Thomas, please read the verse for me.
Mark 14:1-11. Now the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said.
This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, here we gather before you with hearts full of gratitude for what our Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, co-eternal and co-equal with you, has done for us. He humbled himself, cloaked in human form, and exhibit obedience even to death on the cross in order to redeem us. What kind of great boundless love this is. And we ask ourselves, what have we done in return? Today when we read the story that happened at Bethany, Lord, we are reminded of the woman who offered her most precious gifts and extravagant love to anoint you in front of other people. Lord, we humbly ask for your guidance and presence to be with us so that we may explore the lessons we should learn. When we think of your words, may the Holy Spirit descend upon us to help open our hearts and minds to understand the meaning of them. Please help us grow in our relationship with you and in our service to others every day. In Jesus' holy name, which is above every name, we pray. Amen. The event we are looking at today occurred just before Holy Week, which begins on the Sunday before the crucifixion. And we know Jesus has clearly pointed to his impending death and burial to his disciples. The location is Bethany, where Jesus usually stayed when he was in the Judea region, and was also the hometown of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from death. I remember 2 weeks ago, Pastor Lee happened to preach the same story in our Chinese ministry. His verses are from 1 to 9. Pastor Ben, however, gave me the verses from 1 to 11. I think that covers more of the whole story. The author Mark likes to use a writing technique we call Markan sandwich or Markan intercalation. In many of his narratives, he usually begins story A, introduces story B, then returns to story A and completes it. The two parts of the story A are like two slices of bread providing the foundation. And the story B is the fillings, the essence, the substance. Here, story A is the chief priests and the teachers of the law, those ruling body of the Jews, planning to arrest Jesus and secretly kill him. Story B is the anointment of Jesus, and in the final, back to story A, Judas Iscariot was about to betray his Lord to the chief priests so that they could arrest and kill him. We will mainly focus on story B today, but story A is very important because this event is closely related to Jesus' death and is a key point into Christ's redemption. As Jesus had pointed out, she poured perfume on his body beforehand to prepare his burial. In the Bible, we know a king can be anointed. A priest can be anointed, like David anointed by Samuel and Aaron by Moses. But here, Jesus said, the woman anointed him because she knew he was going to die. It turns out this was the only chance to anoint Jesus before he would have already died and risen again. In Mark chapter 16, 3 days after the crucifixion, we see Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. However, Jesus' body was already gone, and the tomb was empty. This anointment story in chapter 14 was also well remembered by Apostle John and clearly recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, with more details. Thanks to John, we know this unnamed woman is actually Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus. And the guy who rebukes the woman harshly is Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray Jesus. We also learn that very expensive perfume actually was worth 300 denarii, which was about a year's wage of an average worker at that time. To give you an idea, Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That's only about 120 denarii. As far as I checked, the average annual salary in the Bay Area is about $87,000. And John told us the volume of the perfume was one pint. That's about 16 ounces. About the same volume of a water bottle, like this. So $87,000 for 16 ounces. What kind of perfume would that be? Out of curiosity, I Googled it. This is the one I found that comes close. Bakra Las Laham Sakhi de Sips. That's French. $6,800 per ounce. Now, brothers and sisters, imagine this. One day, when some of you are having dinner with Elder Thomas. Sorry, Thomas. Since Ben's not here, I have to use you as an example. You are having dinner with Elder Thomas. I suddenly enter the room without invitation. I hold a bottle of that Bakra Les Lahama, whatever. I break the bottle and pour the whole amount of a water bottle of that perfume on Thomas' head. What would you say? I think you will look at each other and ask, what is Brother Tristan doing? Is he crazy? Well, I can tell you that I'm honoring Brother Thomas. I'm paying my respect and love for him. Okay, but what's that fragrance? Some of you realize it seems to be the very expensive Bakra Las Lahama, whatever. Yes, that's right. And it costs about $90,000. Wait a minute, $90,000 poured on Brother Thomas' head? Is he worthy of it? All right, it makes Brother Thomas smell very good. But what's the meaning of it? Why doesn't Brother Tristan donate $90,000 to the church instead? You see, we are mostly realists, which means we also have the heart of Judas Iscariot. Here, I have a small bottle of real anointing oil. made by nard, which comes from Jerusalem. Of course, it's not pure nard, or spikenard, as in some of the translation of Bible. I got this for $10. Don't worry, Brother Thomas, I won't pour this $10 of oil on your head. But I'll give it to you, pass around the room. You can just put a drop or two on your hand, rub it a little bit, and give it breath, so that you can get a sense of that fragrance in the house of Bethany. You have to rub it, okay. The smell is not so strong. It smells good, right? Okay, now, back to the thing we just talked about. While you are all wondering if Brother Thomas wears that bottle of Baccarat, whatever perfume, I want to tell you that I love Brother Thomas. And I love Brother Thomas because he loves me first. One day, when Brother Thomas and I walk in the Leo Ryan Park along the big lake in Foster City, he said to me, "Brother Tristan, I love you." Not this kind of love. Do you believe it? Let me show you. Then he jumped into the lake. Of course, that's not a story, because love like that makes no sense, right? Let me restate the story. One night, Brother Thomas was walking in Leo Ryan Park, and he saw me struggling in the lake in darkness. I almost drowned. He jumped into the water and saved my life. Now you tell me. Is Thomas worthy of the perfume? For me, he surely does. For the benefactor who saved my life, a devotion of a year's salary is surely not too much. Of course, there was no such incident between Thomas and me. But this is, in fact, closer to the relationship between God and us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not die in vain, but save us from eternal death. If we truly believe it, which is all our faith is about, we do owe him at least the worth of our life. Then, what have we done for our Lord, who not only saved our lives, but himself is the way and the truth and the life? Let me ask you three questions. First, have you worshipped your Lord regardless of the secular worldview? Second, have you worshipped your Lord to the point of even willing to sacrifice your most precious belongings? And third, have you worshipped your Lord in a manner that is endorsed by him? While you are thinking about this question, give me a break. Excuse me. While I ask you these three questions, I too asking myself. I'm preaching here today not because I'm a good Christian, but because it's my duty in this pulpit to deliver the message God wants me to deliver. I have to be honest with you, brothers and sisters. I myself cannot answer these questions. I cannot give good answers to these questions. But Mary did. First question, have we worshiped our Lord regardless of the secular worldview? In our story, it looked like Mary was not invited to the dinner. After all, considering the culture at that time, probably all the people at the table were men. Mary came in and disrupted the banquet. Her whole sight and heart was on Jesus, who not only saved her brother's life, but also saved her life, her sister's life, and many people's life in that house, even if they did not know it, did not know it yet. But Mary knew. I say Mary knew because her sister Martha knew it too. In the Gospel of John, chapter 11, Jesus said to Martha, "I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," Martha replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." People in the house were watching and whispering. Some were talking indignantly and trying to blame Mary. But Mary ignored all the noises. She completed what she intended to do. Same as the little girl Lucy we talked about in the beginning. She wanted to give what he had to the charity, ignoring all the difficulties before her. She might not have an invitation to be with the rich people, but she had the invitation to love, as we all do. That's why I think Lucy's story is more like Mary's. Unfortunately, in this world today, research shows that those committed to a biblical worldview are now a minority. In a world where Christianity is not considered cool, have we hesitated to reveal our Christian identity and claim Jesus Christ as our Lord? When our friends are having a fun party on Sunday morning, have we told them we need to go to church to worship God? On a Friday night, when people are in the theater, have we been with our fellowship buddies to study God's word? In a group chat, when people are talking about how there is no God and humans evolved from the single-cell microorganism, have we said, "No, I don't think so"? That the easier and more perfect answer is the world was simply designed and created by God. A lot of times, we easily jumped on the social bandwagons hitched to secularism. While John had said, "If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." Every year, around the end of October, our English ministry hosts the event of Harvest Night. This year, it's October 28th, I think. I thank God for that. We know we do this in order to draw children from the celebration of Halloween. When people see our less flashy costumes like the Barney's and Winnie the Pooh versus the Scream Ghost Face or the Red Devil Suit, that is how we tell the world we are a group of people who follow God's commandment. Second, have we worshiped our Lord to the point of even willing to sacrifice our best belongings? I remember once a brother discussed these verses with me. He asked, "Do you think the family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus is wealthy? How can Mary own a jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard that can be sold for more than a year's wages?" Well, I cannot say Mary's family is poor, because they did host Jesus for dinner a couple of times. But I don't think they were very rich either, because Martha had to cook and serve herself. There were not a bunch of servants and slaves helping her. So I would say it's an average, normal family. Most likely, Mary had saved the jar of perfume for quite a long time, maybe throughout her life so far. If you look at Song of Songs chapter 1 and 4, you may learn that this kind of extravagant perfume made by pure nard was often saved for a young lady's wedding day. And she would pour it on her husband as an act of devotion. The alabaster jar was sealed, so when the lady used it, she had to break it first. So what Mary broke and gave out is more than showing her respect and adoration to Jesus. It may be her dowry tied to her hope for marriage, her hope for the future. Mary gave Jesus her most precious possession, and know this, Mary did not ask for anything in return. She knew Jesus would die days after. While some called it a waste, Jesus saw Mary's heart. As the little girl Lucy said, "It's not money, it's heart." Dear brothers and sisters, what are your most precious belongings? Your house? Your bank account? Or an engagement diamond ring your spouse gave you years ago? If you ask me, I would say time. Time. Nowadays, it seems every one of us so busy. We are busy working, we are busy studying, and we are busy entertaining. We have work meetings, we have study meetings, we have sports meetings, and we have play meetings. Those events we have to get involved in, or we like to get involved in, have occupied too much of our time. After a whole day's various activities, late at night, finally, we may have a little time on the bed, and we think of God. So we start to pray. "Dear Lord, may you bless my sleep. Hope I can meet you in the dream." Then we fall asleep before saying amen. No, you don't want to meet him in the dream, because if you see him, you may actually be afraid that his judgment won't be in favor of you. We don't have time to read the Bible every day. We don't have time to do devotion every day. We don't have time to go to church. And we don't have time to go to fellowship. Now we ask ourselves, how much time have we given to Jesus? How much is too much devotion to Jesus? Last Sunday, in this hall, 36 Awana co-workers, led by Elder Thomas, spent 4 hours doing the training. And during our coming Awana program, starting from October 6th, they will contribute more time. You know, it occurs to me that these days, even to schedule a meeting with 5 or 6 people is not easy. But 36 co-workers on a nice Sunday afternoon, I would call it a miracle. It's not time. It's heart. And I do believe we are doing the right job that pleases God. Our work will be endorsed by God. So, the third question, have we worshiped our Lord in a manner that is endorsed by God? In other words, is God pleased by our service? When Mary poured the perfume on Jesus' head and other people expressed their disapproval, Jesus said, "She has done a beautiful thing to me. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, that what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Mary did the right thing, and Jesus commanded her. He called her acts a beautiful thing, and that she will be remembered with the gospel. What a great honor. In the beginning story, little girl Lucy was endorsed by all the people in the charity event, and her $30 was remembered and honored. We do things for God, not things we think for God. We follow God's will, not our own will that we often mistake for God's. Sometimes when we serve God, we don't do it in God's way. We do it in our own way. We never ask God, and we just go ahead with our plan. The worst thing is we tell people, or even tell ourselves, it's God's plan. It's like when we pray, we bring a list of choices to Him and say, "Look, Lord, here are all the options I think that may work. Can you check 1 or 2 so that I can follow, okay?" No, God doesn't work according to man's plan. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. He has His own plan, which we need to follow. In the book of Joshua, chapter 9, the scripture tells us Joshua made a treaty of peace with the Gibeonites. It seemed like a good thing, but the men of Israel did not inquire of the Lord. As a result, they were fooled by the Gibeonites and later found they could not no longer destroy them, which violated the covenant between God and the Israelites. I have to say, we are usually good at asking the Lord for the things we want, but fail to ask Him for the things He wants. If what we have done was not endorsed by the Lord, we have done meaningless things. How do we know what we are doing is correct then? We have to be closer to God and listen to His command, like Mary. Remember when Martha and Mary opened their home to Jesus, Martha was distracted by many things that had to be made, but Mary just sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what He said. And Jesus said, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I'm not asking you to ignore all the teaching services and just listen to Pastor Ben. No, I'm asking you maybe read God's word more, listen to God's word more, maybe more devotion and more discussion with the fellowship members so that you can follow the Holy Spirit's guide and be like Mary. sure in heart that our acts and offering please our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the story of your Son, Lord, being anointed in Bethany. We see Mary's love and devotion to you and how you command her. We hope we can do the same thing because you are our Savior. It is your abundant, free, sovereign, distinguished grace that lifted us from the mire and placed us on the rock. Father, I just pray that you would please give us the sight of Mary to see Jesus in all his greatness, all his beauty, and all his power. Please give us the gift of faith to lean the way of our lives on him, so that we can follow him humbly and bravely and devote what we have to him. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.